We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host... LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vassay.
Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vassay live at Dodger Stadium, where the Dodgers win their 10th game of the season, their fifth in a row. They're now 10-2. First team in baseball to get to 10 wins with the best record in all of Major League Baseball. 866-987-2570. Final score tonight, Dodgers 4, Rockies 2. The Dodgers got home runs from Justin Turner and Zach McKinstry. Those two guys continue to be big producers in a lot of different ways. Justin, Mr. Steady, and McKinstry, I guess surprising some, but he was called the secret weapon for a reason, and I don't believe he's that much of a secret anymore. They each have 3 home runs on the year. They're both neck and neck as far as RBIs on the year. Turner with 2 RBIs tonight has 11. McKinstry with 11 as well. So those two guys, impressive tonight. The only 2 Dodgers with 2 hits. Kenley Jansen saved his 3rd game of the season. He strikes out the side in the 9th inning, and Corey Knebel picks up his first win. I was a little disappointed that Dodger fans started to boo the all-time leader in saves in Dodger history after 1 measly walk in the 9th inning. I mean, come on. Are we really turning on Kenley Jansen that much so quickly? It's one thing to call this show and harass me and hold me accountable. Now you're going to start booing Kenley after 1 walk? I feel like he turned those boos into cheers after closing this game and picking up his 3rd save of the season. 866-987-2570. Let's head out before we go to the phone calls and we let you hear from Kenley himself. Let's head out to the Sportsnet LA studios where Ned Coletti is standing by. And Ned, I'm not sure if in the studio you heard those boos, but they were loud and clear here at Dodger Stadium. I was a little surprised and disappointed.
So was I. I did happen to hear him. He threw a cutter that just missed, and he's pitched great the other day, and he rallied. And I think there's a fierceness to him that we haven't seen maybe for a little while, but he pitches with anger right now, which is what he said. And I think that it's a good look for him, and it's a good approach. And he also talked about the timing in his delivery, which we've talked about from time to time, his release point and getting everything squared up. But I thought he was terrific, and perhaps there was a handful of Rocky fans there booing him.
Maybe so. But I was happy that he was able to come back and strike out the side to end this game and really not make it one of those high-wire acts. And you know, after Sunday's game, the way he was so dominant against the Nationals, he told me that after the 2nd pitch of that game, he felt like his delivery was so in sync. And one of the keys for him, Ned, even though he threw that slider to end the game, he's concentrating on throwing the cutter, which he told me is a feel pitch. You know that, Ned. Maybe not a lot of people realize that. And he's throwing his 2-seam fastball as well. So, you know, I'm all good with that. You know Kenley a lot better than I do, and you've been in private meetings with him. Just let him go out there and be who he has been to be as successful as he's been.
This franchise has been steeped in great pitching for decades, and he is the all-time save leader. Not by a little bit, by a lot. And there's a reason for it. And his stuff is great, getting the velocity back, the delivery sync back up. It's the best I've seen him look in a long time. A couple years at least, and Sunday was terrific, and today after he got through the first hitter, tonight was terrific too. You can tell how a pitcher's doing by the swings of the opposition. Dustin May, a lot of pitches tonight. Knebel, a lot of pitches tonight that they had a tough time with. Same thing with Kenley. They did not square anything up, and he had a lot of great movement to it, And, you know, he and I used to debate the use of his slider, and to see him, you know, finish off the game with Tapia with a strikeout on a slider, you know, I kind of grinned when I saw that. But the cutter is a difference maker for him, and when the velocity of the fastball is in that 92-94 range, that works too.
The Dodgers used five relievers tonight after Dustin May got into some trouble and looked a little frustrated out there, Ned. It was impressive to see the Dodgers be able to go to their bullpen tonight. The shortest outing by any starting pitcher this season was with Dustin May tonight, 4 1/3 innings. Dave Roberts went to Victor Gonzalez, who got May out of that fifth-inning jam to hold the lead. Then Blake Treinen, Scott Alexander, after falling down 3-0 to Charlie Blackmon with two outs in the seventh inning, was able to get him to pop up. That was indicative of how frustrating of a night it was for the Rockies' offense. Corey Knebel continues to be one of those finds that Andrew Friedman has a knack of doing these days and in the last 5 or 6 years, and Kenley closed it out. So for me, I thought it was impressive to see the Dodger bullpen come in, especially Victor Gonzalez, and do what he did in the fifth inning.
Yes, it was very key. Dustin May was excellent, and then he lost his command a little bit and got himself into just a little bit of trouble. And then Victor came in and shut it down, and that's what you've got to do. Sometimes you've got to stop the momentum of the other team. Whenever there's a rally, you really need to do that. But sometimes you see it distinctly, like we did tonight with Victor Gonzalez. But, you know, you're right. You're correct. Victor Gonzalez and then Treinen and Alexander, Knebel, Kenley, that's some pretty good arms here. And you're right about Knebel, too. He has been lights out. Got a great curveball, got great fastball, and pitching the eighth inning, it's a good spot for him.
Right now, he's looking like one of those relief pitcher finds that Andrew Friedman has had that distinct knack for picking up. Guys like Joe Blanton come to mind, Brandon Morrow, and Blake Treinen. Yeah. I guess Corey Knebel falls into that category as of now.
Yeah, and that's been a tremendous strength of this team and of Andrew to take people, especially some guys that have had a little bit of success back in their career, and for whatever reason, they got off track. Dodgers have excellent pitching coaches and people that have studied delivery, studied movement, studied all sorts of things. And they take chances on guys. They make a correction, and next thing you know, they're as good as new, and they're pitching, in some cases, better than they ever had. I can tell you, if Knebel pitches like he's pitched thus far this season, when you think about teams that do not have good bullpens, this man could be closing a lot of teams. We talk about Dustin May and Julio being top of rotation starters a lot of places. The way Treinen has pitched and the way Knebel's pitched, they could be closing games in 20 different cities.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Knebel has been outstanding for the Dodgers. Pitches a scoreless eighth inning, gets a strikeout. And I know everybody always talks about roles, Ned, but ever since Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman have teamed up, there's no such thing as an eighth inning guy or a seventh inning guy. They've been using these pitchers depending on the grouping of hitters that are coming up in late in the game. So we saw Knebel pitch in the sixth inning, was it last night or on Sunday? And then tonight, he's pitching in the eighth inning, and we saw him even close a game in the home opener. So he's kind of that versatile weapon that they can use in all sorts of innings and situations.
It's smart how they do it, whether it's the lineup, whether it's the positioning and the defensive part of the game, whether it's the bullpen, whatever it is, they're very smart in doing it. Because when you kind of put somebody in one spot, and that's like, quote, their spot, if something would happen where you need to put them in a different spot, are they prepared for it? Are they ready for it? Are they psychologically ready for it? You hear it all the time. Well, I know I can't hit fifth. I can't hit third. I got to hit fourth, or I got to hit the top of the order. I can't hit seventh or eighth. They move so many people all over the place, whether it's in the lineup or in the bullpen or other places. Everybody's prepared for almost anything. And I think that is another, you look at this team and you dissect it. They are so different than every other club in so many ways, including how they use their players. And I think it's paid great dividends to them. If there happens to be an injury down the road, it's not like you've got to go find somebody to do something they've never done before. There's a chance three or four players on this club have done whatever you're going to need down the road. Not every team can say that. Not every team practices that. But that's been a huge thing for this club.
Dodgers win their fifth in a row, defeating the Rockies tonight by a final score of 4-2. The Dodgers got two home runs tonight, one from Zach McKinstry, a big insurance run in the eighth inning, and Justin Turner drives in two more, Ned. I know everybody's talking about McKinstry because he's the rookie phenom that has really burst onto the scene. Everybody was expecting Lux to be this guy, but Zach McKinstry is proving to maybe be a National League Rookie of the Year candidate. But Justin Turner, I know fans love him here in Los Angeles, but I feel like once the season gets going, Seager, Bellinger, Betts, now we got a rookie phenom in McKinstry, Bauer gets a lot of attention, Kershaw, of course, and I feel like sometimes we take Turner's consistency for granted, and he's off to a great start, uncharacteristically, because he even admitted that he understands that April is not usually his best month of the season, but he's hitting .390 now.
He's had a great start to his season. When you think about the great years he's had, April was always a slow month for him, especially in the power department. He had his third home run today. Today is the 14th day of April, third home run this month. And if you look back at his career, he came into this April with three career home runs in the month of April.
Yeah.
So he's off to a great start, slimmed down a little bit, and maybe got a little bit quicker, but he's got such a good swing and approach. The timing with Justin Turner's swing, approach, and release, it's perfect, and it rarely ever varies. Think about how many slumps he's had in the last 6, 7, 8 years. Hardly any, because of the consistency of his approach. And he knows his swing, and he knows how to keep it on time.
All right, Ned, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Jackie Robinson Day, you are out here at Dodger Stadium for the Sportsnet LA pregame show. I haven't even asked you how you like your new stage out there.
It is phenomenal. The entire pavilion area, It is so good and so cool. I mean, it's really, really special. Janet Marie Smith, genius at constructing ballparks and doing things. It is so cool out there. When fans start to get a chance, and we see fans here every night, as they start to populate that area, they're going to fall in love with being out there.
Maybe I'll start giving fans, when 55,000 are allowed in here, I'll give them a secret word out here on Dodger Talk to shout out at you while you're on the stage, and maybe we could do something. Maybe give them a pair of boots.
Well, we could do that. We could give them a pair of boots, and then we could all run that race against you for charity that we've been talking about for 5 years.
Let's do it. Let's run the halls tomorrow, Ned. You and me. Let's do it.
All right. Good seeing you out there today, Dave.
Hey, I never seen you with the mask on. Usually I see you on TV with no mask. It was kind of creepy to see you with the mask on.
Yeah.
I'll get you a better-looking mask, Ned. That one's kind of plain.
Don't say stuff you can't follow through on. So
I'll get you a fancy one. I'll get you a nice Dodger mask.
Right.
How about?
I'll see you tomorrow, then. I'll see you tomorrow for the new mask.
It felt like the cloth that you were wearing on your mask was like from a Russell sweatsuit. That's what your mask looked like today. Very plain gray.
I'm on like about the 12th mask, so I'm not sure which one I was wearing today.
Yep. All right, Ned, we'll celebrate Jackie Robinson Day together tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Here at Dodger Stadium. Thanks a lot for jumping on.
Have a great night, David. See you later.
There he goes, Ned Coletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. We're going to take a timeout here on Dodger Talk. When we come back, we'll hear from the Dodger closer, Kenley Jansen, plus another member of that 2016 draft class came through and made his presence felt on this major league roster. What a great draft by Andrew Friedman and Billy Gasparino. Another one here in the major leagues, another one making his presence felt. Dodgers defeat the Rockies tonight 4-2 on AM570 LA Sports.
On air at AM570, online at AM570LASports.com, and available by podcast on the iHeartRadio app. This is Dodger Talk with David Bassett.
The 2-2 from Daniel Bard. Fly ball, left center field, well hit. McKinstry strikes again. Zach McKinstry.
Yes, that guy. Zach McKinstry, the secret weapon no more. It's a leadoff home run in the bottom of the eighth inning to give the Dodgers a 4-2 lead. That would be the final score tonight as the Dodgers win their fifth in a row by defeating the Rockies 4-2 in front of a sellout crowd, 15,093 here at Dodger Stadium. Welcome back to Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 12:15 in the morning. Taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll let you hear from Dave Roberts as he gives us a Cody Bellinger update. Yeah, remember him? I know with all the Dodger wins, 10-2, you may have forgot about Cody Bellinger. We'll give you an update on where his recovery from that left lower leg injury stands. Plus, we have an update on Brewstar Gratterall, the bazooka, may be making his season debut soon. So we'll let you know about that. And also, Brad Paisley joined me on the third episode of the new podcast, Extra Innings, presented by Corona. We'll let you hear what Brad had to say about becoming a Dodger fan and how a kid from West Virginia turned out to be one of the more higher-profile Dodger fans out there. So you don't want to miss that as well. And you can download Episode 3 with Brad Paisley of Extra Innings on iTunes, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio app. Every season, Daniel's Jewelers gives fans the chance to win a $50 gift card for guessing the correct number of home runs. For your chance to play, visit am570lasports.com and use the keyword home run for your chance to enter this season. 866-987-2570. We'll hear from Kenley Jansen in just a minute, but first I want to go out to Brenda, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Brenda. Thanks for being patient.
Hi, David. You're welcome.
How was your experience at Dodger Stadium tonight, Brenda?
It was incredible. The stadium is amazing with all the renovations. The crowds were amazing. It was incredible, incredible. I, for one, did not boo Kenley Jansen.
Good for you.
I was cheering for Vaughn.
Yeah, if you're a Dodger fan, why would you boo the closer, the all-time leader in saves after one walk? If he gave up a home run, I could understand maybe a little booze, but not after a walk.
Agreed. Agreed.
All right, Brenda. What's your question?
My question is in regards to Knievel getting the win. How did they determine that?
Yeah, our guy Pepe Enanguez in the Spanish radio booth, one of the great voices, along with Jaime Jarrín and Fernando Valenzuela for our Spanish radio listeners, he was wondering the same thing. He popped into our booth and he said, I'm going to go ask the official scorer. And he went to ask him and he felt, and the reasoning was that Knievel was more effective than Victor Gonzalez. But Pepe and I both agreed that Victor Gonzalez got the Dodgers out of maybe their biggest jam of the night in that fifth inning.
Exactly. Okay, that's what I was wondering. Questions have been answered.
All right, Brenda, thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate it. By the way, our official scorer, Ed Munson, a great guy, does a great job. And, hey, he gave Corey Knievel his first win as a Dodger. Let's go out to the LBC. Eugene, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse, live from Dodger Stadium. Hi, Eugene.
How you doing, David?
Good evening. How you doing? How you doing?
How you doing? Hey, listen, I have a similar issue with the official scoring on the win there. I've been following baseball for a million years since the 50s of the Dodgers and the Coliseum. So I'm pretty familiar with baseball. Victor Gonzalez became the pitcher of record when he came in the top of the fifth to replace Dustin May, correct?
Yes. Well, yeah, okay. I don't know about the pitcher of record. New rules are it's up to the official scorer to make that decision on who he believes deserves the win when the starter doesn't go five innings.
Okay, but my point is that Gonzalez became the pitcher of record, and he maintained that status going to the end of the game. I mean, he never, lost. The Dodgers never gave up the lead, so he should have stayed as the pitcher of record. I mean, Knievel did a great job. Kenley Jansen did a great job. The Dodgers are doing fine. They're going to go to the World Series again.
But, yeah, I mean, this is the biggest thing that we have to complain. Eugene,
Right,
pot him down, please. Eugene, if this is the biggest thing that we have to complain about, who deserved the win in relief, things are pretty good if you're a Dodger fan.
Well, I mean, it's important to the pitcher. It's important to the player.
I agree. And look, I'm with you. I thought Victor deserved the win. He didn't get it. But more importantly, the Dodgers got the win. I think that's what Victor Gonzalez cares about. He helped the Dodgers get their 10th win of the year. They're 10-2 because of a strong pitching staff. Tonight was the shortest outing by a Dodgers starting pitcher this season. Dustin May, 4 1/3 innings, 71 pitches. He hands the ball over to the bullpen, and they held on to the lead. Victor Gonzalez did a great job. So did Kenley Jansen, who I know many of you have jumped off the bandwagon, and shame, shame, shame on you. Let's hear from my guy, the all-time saves leader in Dodger history, Kenley Jansen.
You know, just having better timing. It's the feel. It's a feel that I've been searching in for years. It's hard for me to explain. But on the second pitch against Washington, when I have that feeling, I just hold on to it. You know, today I still have it. Feel really good. You know, the first hitter, obviously strike one, you know, that's kind of like unacceptable for me, you know, especially up by two, you know. But anything else is just positive, very positive. You know, when you get in your rhythm, you know, you have your field pitch. That cutter always used to be the field pitch. So when my timing is not right, it's going to be 89. When my timing is good, it's going to be 90, 92, 94. So, yeah, I feel great.
And did you hear the boos after that walk? And when you hear them, I mean, how do you react to that?
I'll react. I ain't perfect. I've tried to win ballgame. I don't want to come in walking guys, you know. That's not what I'm trying to do. I try to win game. You know, we all want to win here. So, to me, that's just nonsense. It's noise. So I'm going to continue to work my ass off and help the Dodgers win a championship. That's what I'm here for. You know, when we sign here, sign try to win a championship. And that's how it's going to be. And I'm going to enjoy this ride.
We got time for one more. Go ahead, Bill.
Are you pitching angry?
Yeah, you know. Gotta be angry. You know, enough is enough. You know, sometimes, you know, anger helps, sometimes it doesn't. So for me to just have, you know, the confidence back and the feeling back is even more fun. So it's gonna be fun, you know, from now on, keep playing this season and try to win another championship.
Consistency is the key for Kenley, and he even told me that yesterday when we had a conversation, and he just said that, yeah, he was great on Sunday. The delivery was all synced up, and he felt it after the second pitch that he threw, but he understands you're only as good as your last game, especially when you're the closer. He knows what the closer's job is. He understands what comes with it, and he has been putting in a lot of work to try to get that delivery synced up, and look, there's a lot of miles on that body, on that arm. Luckily, he hasn't had any shoulder or elbow issues. He's just trying to become a different pitcher. And honestly, getting back to what made him successful, sprinkling in the slider. But he's a cutter pitcher. That's what made him the pitcher that he is. And like he said, it's a feel pitch, and the more he throws it, the better it will be. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Mitchell in Los Angeles. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Mitchell.
Hey, how you doing, Vasse? Actually, I'm from Riverside, but I was at the game today, and the pitching was beautiful. Honestly, Kenley Jansen looked great. It's a Kenley Jansen of old, but I want to give respect to Dave Roberts because he made a lot of good moves. I felt like Dustin May could have stayed in longer, but he pulled in Victor Gonzalez, and I felt very comfortable with that. And it's a lot of good moves. He brought in Trianon. A lot of people were talking smack in our bullpen, but like in the beginning of the season, but it's very deep, and they just need to get settled in, and we need to become comfortable with it. We need to become comfortable when Kenley can pitch, when Trianon can come in.
Yeah, Blake Trianon.
Yeah. And it's going to be a long season, and we just need to test it out and see when everyone's comfortable. But tonight, Kenley looks great. I was out there in the game, and he looks like the Kenley Jensen of old. He looked strong and confident. What I like to see him.
All right, Mitchell, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. And this bullpen may be getting stronger sooner than you think. Brewstar Gratterall is going to pitch another game at Camelback Ranch on Thursday night, actually against Rockies minor leaguers. They're having these games between different teams in Arizona because the AAA season and minor league season hasn't started yet. So Brewstar Gratterall will be pitching again on Thursday. If all goes well, there's a good chance that he'll be activated maybe during the Padres series, but after that, if not during the Padres series, maybe next Monday. So could you imagine the bazooka coming back for the Padres series, especially after what took place in the NLDS where he frisbeed his hat into the air after Cody Bellinger robbed Fernando Tatis Jr. of what would have been a go-ahead home run? That should be interesting. That would be really fun. Tatis is supposed to be coming back Friday. He's taking batting practice. It may look like it's going to be Walker Buehler against Ryan Weathers on Friday, Kershaw versus Yu Darvish on Saturday, and Trevor Bauer against Snell Zilla. That's the way it's looking to be lined up for a big three-game series. And I say big, how about this? Exciting three-game series. No matter who wins this series, it's not going to determine the division winner, but the Padres have stumbled in Pittsburgh the last couple of nights, and the Dodgers have not stumbled against the Rockies or Nationals on this homestand. So if the Dodgers win that series, taking two out of three or even a sweep, they will definitely put some space between them and the Padres. And if the Dodgers win this series, maybe they put some more doubt in the Padres' mind about whether or not they are ready to take over as division champions. Let's go out to Carlsbad. Sean, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Sean.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Vasse?
Don't start that. Just David.
Okay, David. Hey, I was trying to be funny there. Anyway,
there's no mistaking
why Justin Turner is playing as good as he is, as early as he is. Behind every good man, there's a good woman. And I think Courtney getting him on that diet that they did in the off season is every reason why he is playing as good as he is. He's even said that Doc's even said that he's made some plays with some range that he hasn't seen Justin make in a while. And the top of that lineup, you got Mookie Betts hitting .323. He's the worst of the four right now. So, I mean, it's crazy to think about. And,
yeah.
You know, they're very close to have winning 11 in a row.
That's right. If they don't lose that 10-inning game in Oakland, they have a 10-game winning streak, no doubt, Sean. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Appreciate it. I'm sure Courtney with a K will appreciate your sentiments towards her. And Justin Turner, 2-for-4 tonight with his third home run of the year. The Dodgers beat the Rockies 4-2 in front of 15,093. Justin Turner also got hit by a pitch by Michael Givens, and that was the 79th time in his Dodger career that he had been hit by a pitch. That's the most in franchise history. That came in the seventh inning, and Givens was trying to basically bust a fastball in and above his hands, but that's a perfect example of a pitcher that can't do that, can't command his pitches on the inside part of the plate, and that's where a lot of hitters get upset. Justin wasn't upset. He understood what he was trying to do. He just couldn't execute it, but that's how hitters get hurt. That's how they break their hands, their wrists, their elbows, because there's a lot of pitchers that are not able to command that inside fastball. And that's the book right now out there in baseball. They're trying to come inside on Justin, try to get the ball above his hands, and a lot of guys, the majority of guys, cannot execute it, and that's why they're not effective against him. So I just hate to see that. You know, I hate to see a pitcher that can't command his pitches on the inside part of the plate, and they hit a player like Justin Turner. So luckily the Dodgers dodged the bullet right there, and Justin as well. I know it's cool for everybody to run to their computer and tweet that he's been hit more than any other Dodger, but I just flash back to that spring training game a couple of years ago where he got hit by a pitch because a pitcher couldn't command a fastball inside. So that's one thing to be watching for as the season unfolds. Watch how these pitchers try to pitch him, and if some of these pitchers cannot command their fastballs on the inside part of the plate, then maybe I'll charge the mound. How about that? 866-987-2570. I mentioned that Brustar Graterol may be back for the Padres series, but it doesn't seem like Cody Bellinger will. I asked Dave Roberts before the game today if he had any update on his former MVP.
Dave, what's going on with Cody? Haven't seen him on the field doing too much work. Where is he at with his rehabilitation?
He's doing a lot of work down below with the trainers and the strength guys. Yesterday he did some running, some swinging, and there's some swelling that's kind of, it's healing as far as the discoloration of the leg. But right now he's just not there. We feel he can go full bore. So, you know, I know I keep saying day to day, and I just really don't know when the timetable would be to return.
Can he run at full speed right now, Dave? Can he swing a bat? What can he do?
He can swing the bat, but I don't think that he can run at full speed yet. But the plan is, as we go to San Diego, he'll come with us on the road trip, and you know, hopefully, you know, an activation at some point in time.
All right, that's the update on Cody Bellinger. If there's still swelling in that lower left part of the leg, you know, I was talking to Nomar Garciaparra about this, and a guy that did have an Achilles injury and understands that lower part of the ankle calf area, he was telling me the blood does not flow down there very well. And if the blood's not flowing down there very well, that means the healing process takes a little longer. So I would be surprised after what I just heard from Dave Roberts before the game that Cody Bellinger would be making this miraculous recovery after basically not doing much out here on the field and be ready for that Padres series. Now, I could be wrong. He's a young guy. He's an athletic guy. Maybe he does make some significant strides between now and Friday, but just the tone in Dave's voice makes it seem like he doesn't want to let the Padres know that there's no chance that Bellinger's going to be ready, but it seems like it's doubtful that Cody Bellinger would be ready for that series against the Padres. Should be fun, and this is great for baseball, really. It is that the Dodgers and Padres are two of the best teams in the National League, and they're going to be playing each other, by the way, starting Friday, seven times in the next week. They got three games in San Diego, as you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then next week at Dodger Stadium, the Padres come to town for four games. So mark that on your calendar if you want to try to get here to Dodger Stadium. One guy that is definitely going to be glued to the radio and TV during that Padres series is Super Dodger fan Brad Paisley. You've seen him here at Dodger Stadium. He sang the national anthem here many times. He sang the national anthem, recorded a national anthem twice for the Dodgers in Texas. He went to his local Little League park to record it. He's a huge Dodger fan, and he joined me on the third episode of the new podcast, Extra Innings, presented by Corona, which you can download right now on iTunes, Spotify, or the iHeartRadio app. Episode 3 is all Paisley, and I even surprised him with an Andre Ethier phone call. But I asked Brad, I'll let you hear a little part of his answer. I asked him, how does a kid from West Virginia who lives in Nashville, Tennessee, become a Dodger fan? And here's the origin.
You know, when I married Kim, we started dating in end of 2001, beginning of 2002. And she was living in Santa Monica, and I would fly out to spend time with her there. And I think it was around that time that I just started going to some games. I think what's funny is the national anthem, when I was a new artist, I was invited to sing the anthem at a Dodger game, and I did it. And that was the last time I think I sang the anthem until they were in the World Series. And that was like the year 2000 when I sang it. And so they became sort of my home team when we started living part-time in California. You know, Nashville doesn't have a team, so I just really got into the culture of it and sort of chose them, you know, in the sense that hey, it was baseball games that I could go to when we lived there. So I just love, and also when you get to know the guys on this team, like I've gotten to know Clayton and Justin and got to know Jock before he's now left, and Chris Taylor, and these are the best human beings in the world. They are a classy, classy bunch.
And that was Brad Paisley on episode 3 of Extra Innings presented by Corona. And we have it for you every Wednesday for the rest of the season. And this week, our guest is Brad Paisley. He did tell me not to let Justin Turner or Clayton Kershaw know that he came on the podcast. I can understand why. I don't want him to lose any street cred with those guys by talking to me. So it's a great, fun conversation, talking baseball. And Brad is a big Dodger Talk listener, so I appreciate it wherever he's listening out there in Nashville, Tennessee. So thank you, Brad, for taking the time out. And you can download it on the iHeartRadio app, iTunes, or Spotify. All right, tomorrow is Jackie Robinson Day here at Dodger Stadium and all around Major League Baseball. Dave Roberts said that he and the team will be going out to the Jackie Robinson statue here at Dodger Stadium to pay their respects to one of the great men that has ever lived. Julio Urias will be on the mound for the Dodgers on Jackie Robinson Day. Austin Gomber will be on the mound for the Rockies. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at 6 o'clock. Matt Kemp will be our special guest. First pitch at 7:10 between the Dodgers and Rockies. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out here at Dodger Stadium. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you can download it, podcast it on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. Once again, the final score from Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers win their 5th in a row, defeating the Rockies 4-2. Have a great night. See ya.